Well, guys, I guess contrary to popular belief, it is possible to dominate a team in the regular season and then do the same thing in the playoffs.
And you were right. That Jets rematch didn't matter either. None of that stuff mattered.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
You're right. It only mattered how they played on Sunday and they kicked their ass.
That's right.
That's why we wore the Letterman jackets.
I know.
We knew that was going to happen.
So, the only person who showed up was J.J. Watt again. Everything we talked about, how it had to come down to Schaub, how it had to come down to Kubiak and Schaub proving they were ready to sort of, you know, for the moment to take the challenge head on, they weren't. The only guy that was J.J. Watt. And he spit on the logo.
And despite...
I don't know what that means, but he supposedly spit on the logo.
Right. I'm still waiting for the video,
right,
by the way. But, you know, despite the score being close for a lot of the game, you still had that feeling the Patriots were in control.
Yeah, I know this was kind of hyperbolic, but I even... When Devin McCourty made the tackle in the opening kickoff and they held him to 3 points, I felt like the game was over. I mean, I felt
really?
Like...
Well,
I did. Now,
I kind of did, too.
There was a lot of football left to be played, and the Patriots had to make a lot of plays after that, but I just felt that was an opportunity for Houston to jump out in front and sort of dictate the way the game was played. Instead, they only got 3, and then even when defensively Houston got off to a decent start, they couldn't take advantage offensively. Andy's right. We talked about Schaub and Kubiak. Could they be aggressive enough and make the plays to take control of the game? And the answer was no, and I kind of felt like that was going to be the case going in.
You know, a little bittersweet, though. Gronk getting hurt on that play early in the game. It is kind of sad because, you know, here they are on another run. And, you know, other than Brady, their biggest weapon won't be on the field for it.
And it was so hopeful. You know, he was back. You had so much hope heading into it. A lot of Patriots fans thought this game would be even worse for the Texans because Gronk was back. And you'd have him now for the AFC title game in the Super Bowl. And then you lose him. And for him, you know, this is 2 straight Super Bowls, potentially. You're not going to have arguably your most dominant physical specimen type player on the field at his best. You didn't have him a year ago. And it's just disappointing because he's so fun to watch. And to see him, and I said this to you this week during our radio show, part of his aura is sort of just being indestructible, just
right.
This big beastly pass catcher run. And now he's destructible. Now, you know, he gets injured. Now his arm is broken twice or whatever. In the same, you know, it just kind of takes away from that whole aura of Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll hear reports as to what the long term is and what's going to happen with him as far as the offseason goes. But it is kind of sad. On a brighter note, was this the coming out party for Shane Vereen? And is this something we can look forward to as not just a one-game thing?
Yeah, and the terrific performance by Vereen. And I'm going to... I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to make it sound overly disrespectful. But, you know, the Danny Woodhead injury was also potentially big because, you know, they had a big part of the game plan with him starting the game. They wanted to, I think, use him in spread formations. I think Vereen did things that Woodhead can't. Most notably, the long catch down the sideline for the touchdown over the shoulder. That's not a play I've seen Danny Woodhead do very often, if at all. And again, this is not anti-Woodhead. This is
no.
pro-Vereen.
Right.
I think that he gives you some chances to do things, create matchups that Danny Woodhead doesn't. Big plays, not just, you know, first down plays, but I'm talking about down the field, in the flat. You know, we've seen him provide now once in the regular season with an 80-something yard catch and run against the Jets. And now this one, this latest one, which I thought was really impressive, the route that he ran, the sort of the double move that he runs down the sideline. That was almost wide receiver-like. And you can see some of the things that we heard about coming out of Cal in a pro offense. Those are some of the things that he did.
And selfishly, we've sort of been big proponents of Shane Vereen and what he can offer and that they drafted him in the second round because he is very talented and can bring a lot to the passing game. And, you know, we've talked about maybe he could be a star in this offense because of, you know, his versatility running. And so it was nice to see him kind of live up to that hype that, you know, the Patriots had for him as well when they picked him in the second round.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a dual threat. He can run the ball. He can be a factor in the passing game. So,
and that's the bittersweet aspect of the Gronkowski. You lose a weapon, but maybe you kind of unearthed another weapon that will be difficult for defenses to deal with because they haven't had to game plan for it a lot. They haven't seen a lot of film on Shane Vereen, so maybe you get a boost there that helps to sort of balance out the Gronkowski loss.
All right, so we're on to the AFC Championship again against the Baltimore Ravens again. What do you think this time around?
I think a lot of the same stuff that I thought the last time around. I think it's scary how similar the teams are. There's some different elements. The Patriots have certainly a different defensive backfield than they did last year at this time, and I think that's going to, you know, help them out a little bit. But I think, conversely, Baltimore is far more confident offensively. than they were last year at this time. Torrey Smith is a much better receiver. Jacoby Jones is a legitimate number three guy. Last year it was Lee Evans. We all know what happened to Lee Evans at the end of the game. They have some chances. Well, depending on how you look at it, it was either a drop or a strip by Sterling Moore.
It was a strip. Sterling Moore.
Absolutely.
So, Silver slugger.
But I think that
only Paul says it.
The Ravens, the Ravens have, you know, certainly every opportunity, and they should have the mindset of coming in here. Does anybody really expect it to be easy? I think it's going to be a difficult game. I think in the fourth quarter you're going to be looking at it. You're going to be probably hanging on the edge of your seat again, like you do pretty much every time these teams get together.
How much of this emotion, the whole Ray Lewis retirement tour, how much of that will be a factor to you?
It's the AFC Championship game. The Super Bowl's on the line. Whether he was retiring or not, whether he was Ray Lewis or not, I mean, I think these guys all know. You know, how about the emotion for Joe Flacco? You know, trying to prove himself an elite quarterback, get over the Patriots. You know, he's sort of like Manning. Remember when Manning, he was good, but he couldn't beat the Patriots. So it sort of hurt his legacy. Flacco, that hump is the Patriots to get to a Super Bowl. So I don't think the Ray Lewis, he'll do his chant like he does every game, and he'll get them jacked up. But if you need extra, if you're doing it for Ray, for the Ray-tirement, then, as Aqib Talib would say, you're in the wrong business.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you asked the question, how much does that play into it? It all depends on how much you believe in that sort of thing. You know, last year at this time, you know, the Patriots were riding the wave of emotion, you know, playing for Myra Kraft. And I think that that helped them. I think that did lift the Patriots a little bit. I'm not saying, I'm not getting into the corny stuff, that pushed the field goal wide or any of that kind of karma and things like that. But I do think emotionally, it helped, don't you? So, I think that the Ravens get something. But listen, Andy's right. You're playing for a Super Bowl. If you can't get ready to play for a Super Bowl, you know, you're in the wrong business.
All right, so we're talking New Orleans, I guess, right?
I already booked my room. Rewind the tape. About 6 weeks ago, I booked my room right here.
He did. I was here. I saw it. We talked a little bit earlier about Shane Vereen and the impact that he had against Houston on Sunday. I think this is an area of the Patriots offense that can be a big plus going against Baltimore. The Patriots do a great job of getting their running backs out in space against linebackers, finding favorable matchups, and this just in, Baltimore's linebackers are old. You might have heard Ray Lewis, 37 years old, is going to retire. He has a hard time covering in space. No Sean Moreno for Denver, I thought, really exploited this early on before he got hurt. This is an area, Danny Woodhead, if he can be healthy and he can be out there, Shane Vereen, absolutely. Even Stephen Ridley, get the ball to the running backs in space, make the Ravens' old, slow linebackers cover. Conversely, on the other side, I think the Patriots linebackers also don't cover particularly well. Now, they don't have age as an excuse, but I don't think Brandon Spikes and Dante Hightower have been really, really good this year covering backs across the middle, covering tight ends, and I think this is another area of the Baltimore offense that's a little bit underrated. Dennis Pitta, good, solid receiver over the middle. Ray Rice, we know all about him. These are some guys that the Ravens like to get in space across the middle, in the flats. This is an area that Baltimore is going to try to exploit as well. So it's going to be a good chess match, which linebackers are able to cover better. Final point this week is really back to that Patriots offense and something we've been talking about for a lot of years now, the inability to stretch the defense. They have Brandon Lloyd on the outside, but he averaged 6.4 yards per catch against Houston. That's not going to get it done. I thought this was an area that Denver couldn't really exploit against Baltimore because it was clear as that game wore on that Peyton Manning wasn't going to be able to get the ball over the top. And I think that's why the Ravens' defense got better in the second half. I thought they slammed everything down toward the line of scrimmage. That's what they're going to try to do against the Patriots as well. They've had success doing that against the Patriots with Welker and obviously with no Rob Gronkowski available. This is going to be something the Patriots need. So Brandon Lloyd needs to get behind the defense and make a play.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Will she have a full Patriots jersey on this weekend? Will she be here?
Yeah, she'll be here. She's been rocking nothing but full Patriots jerseys here.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
All right, Images of the Week, pictures, playoff style. This first one is Wes Welker. Just another tremendous game from one of the best receivers in Patriots history. I figured I'd show this one because it's such a great angle. Yeah, I guess it was a touchdown. finally, if you're in opposing backfield, this is what you have to look at every snap.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joining me now in the Gillette Stadium locker room, Patriots defensive co-captain Devin McCourty. As you guys prepare for, obviously, your biggest game of the season, you've obviously been breaking down film of a very explosive Ravens offense. What jumps off the table when you talk about Ravens?
Well, I think for us in the secondary, it'll be just being able to make plays in the deep part of the field. They've taken advantage of a lot of, you know, games where they're able to throw the ball over the top, and, you know, they had a bunch of plays last week where they take advantage of that. So just being able to make plays in the deep part of the field will be big for us.
Obviously, in particular, Torrey Smith has made a lot of plays for them all year long. I mean, you matched up against him early in the year. He had some plays, made some plays last week. What are the challenges that he brings to the table? Obviously, very explosive guy.
I think he brings every challenge that a receiver can bring. You know, catching and running when he gets the ball in his hands, he uses speed to break tackles. And then, you know, definitely what you've seen in the last couple of weeks is him taking the top off the defense and making catches over the top. So, you know, it'll be a competition of just going out there, trying to cover them, stick with them, and then, you know, guys using their help where they have help, and guys when they're back there is making plays.
Obviously, it'll be a different game, and it was a long time ago that you guys played them, but just in terms of individual matchups and players and their tendencies, how much can you take from having played a guy like that earlier in the season?
You could take some from that, just, you know, how you went out there, how he approached it, but, you know, it's a lot you could take just from watching other games as well. So it's always tough when you play a team so long ago to try to only use that. So I think we have to watch that and learn from, but also realize, you know, that was a long time ago. There's going to be definitely changes.
As a secondary, it seems like you guys have settled in, kind of found roles. Aqib has come in and played corner. Alfonso's been good. You moved to safety. Where do you feel like you guys are as a group right now in terms of this challenge?
I think we're prepared, but, you know, it'll be something we have to build all week for, you know. I think we've worked hard throughout the season of trying to put ourselves in a good position, and now it's all about execution. It's not going to really matter how we feel. It's all going to be about how we got there and execute on Sunday.
We saw your mom earlier in the year with the split jersey, and you played your brother in Tennessee. Will she have a full Patriots jersey on this weekend? Will she be here?
Yeah, she'll be here, and she's been rocking nothing but full Patriots jerseys here, so she has a couple of them. She'll probably decide which one she's going to wear.
And will your brother be here? Will he be watching you, cheering you on from the stands?
He'll be watching, but he won't be here, no.
Will he be critiquing is the question?
No, not as much. I think we both root for each other just to go out there and get wins.
It's championship week, and that means we talk about the biggest problems on the other team, and that starts with Joe Flacco. Now, some people don't think Joe Flacco is very good, including an ill-informed host on this very station, but he is. Let me tell you something. This guy goes to the postseason every year of his career. He's advanced three times to the AFC Championship game. He has 100 passer ratings in four of his last five games. Each of the postseason games this season, he can get the ball down the field. He can make plays. He and Torrey Smith are a big problem. He may not complete a high percentage of passes, but he's a playmaker. As I said, Flacco's biggest weapon, young speed burner Torrey Smith. Two touchdowns and two big plays last week to beat Peyton Manning. He'll be looking to knock off Tom Brady this week doing the same thing. First meeting between the two teams this year, over 120 yards and two touchdowns. He torched Devin McCourty. But that was when Devin McCourty was still at corner. McCourty is at safety now, and Aqib Talib has proven himself capable of taking away big play receivers like Andre Johnson. Different matchup this time around for Smith against the Patriots secondary. Last year's AFC title game, three guys, 18 of Tom Brady's 22 completions. That was Aaron Hernandez, that was Wes Welker, and that was Rob Gronkowski, even though he got banged up in that game. This time around, Gronk will not play. Somebody is going to have to pick up that share of the load. Can the Patriots beat the Ravens without Gronkowski? Sure, but in terms of offensive production, the task is going to be more difficult.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
He already has experience, by the way, single-handedly winning a playoff game here in Foxborough. He's the
Fred
guy.
Fred doesn't like when we talk about the past.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Remember last week when Bill Belichick said in one of his press conferences that in the playoffs you can't dig a foxhole and sin in it to win a war? You have to go out there and attack. Well, guess who wasn't listening to that press conference? John Fox. That's right, the coach of the Denver Broncos. Let me tell you, the way he coached that team, that's not playoff football. That's not aggressive football, and you can't win that way. I'm talking particularly about taking a knee at the end of regulation. You had 30 seconds, two timeouts. You can't go for a field goal and win the game? That's just not how you win in the playoffs. I'm sorry. That's why Denver lost the game.
Those of you who watch me on this segment, you know there's two things I can't stand. One is bad officiating, and the other is bad coaching. We saw our share of both over the weekend. I'm going to focus on the coaching this week, especially time management. Mike Smith in Atlanta, what are you thinking about? There's 13 seconds left at the end of the game. You're running around like you've never been in this situation before. You're trying to find a ref. You need to call a timeout. Settle down. There was no need to rush, no need to call timeout. Let the clock run down to 4 seconds or so. Call timeout. Kick the game-winning field goal. The game is over. Instead, 13 seconds left. You panicked. You call timeout. You kick the field goal. Now you got to kick off. I don't know what you had your kicker do. Looked to me like an onside kick. You could not have handled the end of the game any worse. I don't know how I could feel less impressed with Atlanta winning a playoff game than I was.
As my two colleagues just discussed, there aren't even enough good coaches to go around in the postseason in the NFL these days. We see it each and every day. One of these teams looking for a coach, they interview some guy you've never heard of who's really got no chance of being a great NFL coach. It used to be the old saying was there aren't enough good quarterbacks to go around the NFL. Well, we're in the golden age of quarterbacks now. There's some great young quarterback talent. Unfortunately, there's no coaches to coach them. Where are all the good football coaches? In college.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
The AFC Championship game is here. Baltimore is in town. What are you most concerned about with the Ravens?
Very simple. Torrey Smith. I know we've sort of gotten past the worries with the secondary of, oh, the deep ball, those 20-yard plays that were such a problem earlier in the year, but Torrey Smith still scares the hell out of me. He scared the hell out of the Broncos and beat him, and they had a Hall of Famer covering him. Champ Bailey was all over him, and he toasted him. I don't know how you can feel comfortable about this secondary the way Torrey Smith's playing right
now. I don't feel great about Torrey Smith, but to me it starts with Ray Rice, and it's not one of these situations where you just have to say, we have to stop the run, like last week with Arian Foster. Ray Rice is a much more dynamic back than Arian Foster is. He can factor into the pass game and the running game. He already has experience, by the way, single-handedly winning a playoff game here in Foxborough. He's the
Fred
guy.
Fred doesn't like when we talk about the past.
He's the guy, to me, that you have to take out of that Ravens offense.
You know why Ray Rice might succeed? Torrey Smith, because they're going to be so worried about getting beat deep. You know how far Steve Gregory and Devin McCourty are going to be? They're going to be 15, 20 yards downfield. We saw the game plan last week. You know, Andre Johnson, keep everything in front. The trouble is, trying to keep everything in front with Andre Johnson and the weak-armed Matt Schaub is different than keeping everything in front of Torrey Smith. And, I don't know, Joe Flacco can throw it about, what, 70 yards in the air?
Yeah, no, listen,
so when,
I agree
when Devin
with
McCourty and Steve McGregory are 70 yards downfield, you're right, Ray Rice might have some success.
No, but listen, Ray Rice, again, I think you're just completely underestimating this guy. He does so many different things well. He can stay inside, he can go outside, and be a part of the passing game, and they'll use him as part of the passing game.
Yes, but you're missing Wilfork. You're missing Rob Ninkovich. You're missing Gerard Mayo, Brandon Spikes. The best defensive players on this football team are where? Near the line of scrimmage. They can deal with Ray Rice. I feel better about the secondary now.
I'm not sure.
But I'm not sure that I feel confident that they're just going to shut down Torrey Smith. And we've seen in the postseason already. We've seen it in almost every game. One or two big touchdowns, big plays can sway a game. And Torrey Smith has been doing that.
I think that the number one focus for the defense is going to be Torrey Smith. I think you're right. And I think if you do that, they'll have success. I think the Patriots generally have success when they try to take that one thing away. And if they went into this game saying, we're not going to let Ray Rice beat us, I don't think they would.
Do you think they tried to stop Torrey Smith when they played him the first time?
I don't think he was their number one focus, no. I think it was more along the lines of Ray Rice. Now, yeah, sure, in hindsight, yeah, you could say that. But
they would have won if they had tried to stop Torrey Smith.
But I think if you don't have Ray Rice as your number one priority, he's going to run for 100 yards against you, and he's probably going to catch 50 yards worth of passes as well. He has to be the guy that's at the top of your
list.
He
can have all that production. You can move slowly up and down the field with Ray. As long as he doesn't go 80 in a single play, which is what you sort of referenced in the past we don't talk about, as long as he doesn't do that, the Patriots can deal with chunks of yardage. But but it's the big plays that are going to beat them. It's the big plays that are going to sway the momentum. We've seen these two teams play a lot recently, right? And it comes down to the end. Plays win these games. Big plays. It's not long extended drives. No. It's plays. This game is going to be settled on plays, and that's Flacco, that's Smith, that's deep.
But if the Ravens can't put long sustained drives together, they can't win. They're not going to win this game by hitting Torrey Smith three or four times the way they did against Denver. It's not going to happen against the Patriots.
You may regret that statement.
They're not going to allow that to happen. If the Ravens are going to win, they're going to have to do it with Ray Rice and Torrey Smith and have not just two and three play drives for touchdowns. They're going to have an eight or nine play drive for a touchdown. I'm not sure they can do it. I think they can get rid of Torrey. I think they can take Torrey Smith and make sure they minimize the damage. I'm not sure if they do that, they can minimize Ray Rice.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi. Official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, we've come to the last segment of our show where we answer the questions that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. Let's start off with this one from Morris Hickok. And he wants to know, will other teams in the league allow the Patriots to pick up Tim Tebow knowing he would add to an already devastating offense?
Oh, wow.
And how's he going to add to an already devastating offense?
I think Manu Inouye
has been doing a fine job at fullback because that's the only position he'd play on this team.
Oh, you got the Gator package, Hernandez, Dempsey, and Tebow. You bring them in together.
He'd offer nothing. They have Shane Vereen. They have Stephen Ridley. They have a quarterback named Tom Brady. Other defenses would love if they handed the ball to Tim Tebow, a Jag fullback. There is no reason another team would not want Tim Tebow to come to the Patriots.
You know, Patrick Chung is a free agent, though, so they might need a punt.
Personal protector. And maybe he'd hold on to the ball on the fake punt. But other than that, Tim Tebow would not upgrade this team at all.
Wow. All right. And finally, James Siegel says he and his friend were arguing about Bruschi and Ninkovich's football smarts. He said they play different positions, but is there a correlation to make as far as their football smarts?
How does that go? How do you get in an argument? No, I think Bruschi's smarter. You think Ninkovich is smarter? How does that work exactly?
Probably beer.
There are some similarities there. They both were college defensive linemen that rushed the passer. And Bruschi ended up being more of an inside linebacker in the pros. Ninkovich, an edge guy. But, yeah, I mean, I can understand where he's going there, making that transition from college. Bruschi, people forget, was an interior lineman defensively. A lot of quarterback sacks. He wasn't necessarily known for putting a lot of pressure on the passer as a Patriot, but Ninkovich, that's more along the lines of what he does. But I think where he's getting at is the instincts to drop and make an interception like he did on Sunday. Ninkovich, Bruschi, I think they're a little bit different in terms of the positions they play, but I can see where that argument unfolds.
Who has had the greater impact on the team so far with Ninkovich in his career versus Bruschi?
Bruschi, much longer stretch.
Yeah.
But Ninkovich is certainly showing that playmaking ability. When they need a play over the last two or three years, Ninko's been one of the guys to make it.
Absolutely.
All right, good questions. Remember to send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com.